In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with Volume 22nd, 8:21, 1927, I think. Yes. Okay. And I just got to get back here. Oh, that's not it. Sorry. Sorry, I've got this thing screwed up here. Okay, hold on. Let me go to this. Okay, great. So on page 7, before you would not follow all the acts, before you would not follow all the acts of the divine will. You would follow a small circle of the acts of my holy humanity. So what the saints have done and for the last 2,000 years is follow the holy life of Jesus, his exterior life. So it's doing the will of God. And they did it very well by being faithful to Christ and his church. And he says, you would not follow all of the acts of the divine will. You would only follow the small circle of the acts of my holy humanity. And that is small in comparison to the acts of my divine will. And this is why each act, each pain of yours, Louisa, and ours, would make you encounter your Jesus. So to live in the divine will is what Jesus is showing Louisa. He says, before, like the saints, it was to do the will of God, following his holy humanity. Now Jesus says, I want you to enter into the interior life of Jesus. He says, compared to the acts of the divine volition, each act, each pain makes you have an encounter with Jesus because you're one with him in the divine will. The saints could have said, I want to be one with you, Jesus. And they did say that, but they didn't have the way and the how this is going to be done. That's what you find in the Book of Heaven. So he says, and I was all intent on making you copy my holy humanity. He says, Jesus says, therefore, it was necessary that I keep the brush, this brush, paintbrush in my hand in order to form my image in you, to dispose the canvas of your soul, to receive the vivid colors dipped in the light of my most holy divine fiat. So what Jesus is saying here is what the saints have taught us. And this is what we've learned from the saints. This is an analogy. It's like a black and white photograph. That's what the saints have taught us. And now Jesus says, I'm going to bring you into not just two dimension in black and white, but I want to bring you into three dimension in technicolor. That's what the divine will is. There's so much difference. So when you read the divine will, you enter into this color. What the saints have said, this is gray or a light gray or a dark gray, a foggy gray, a crystal clear gray. Now Jesus is teaching, this is red, this is yellow, this is green, this is blue. And what's so beautiful about this is, you know, you get so excited about the divine will and you try to explain it to someone and they go, well, the saints talked about this and it's not that. Yeah, because the saints said this was a light gray. And Jesus is saying that light gray was the exterior holy humanity. Now the interior life I'm showing you, that is really yellow. That is really blue. That is really a pink, a rose. So Jesus keeps on saying, you have to understand, he says, I'm going to make you my own personal divine masterpiece for God. God is going to delight in you. Because he says to Louisa, in the Book of Life in Heaven, there is a page of each, every and every one of us, what God has planned from our conception all the way to when we return and be with him again. And this page, he says, I want it to be exactly what I had planned from the beginning. And this is the thing that's so beautiful about this. you know, all our lives have been misery because of the human will. And Jesus is saying, now I'm going to repair that, redo that, regenerate you to become my living image and likeness. So he says, it's necessary that I keep this brush in my hand because I'm going to form my image in you, Jesus says, to dispose the canvas of your soul, to receive the vivid colors dipped in the light of my divine fiat. So when you're reading, you're going to read something that I won't understand. I'm going to read something that you don't understand because what is your disposition? Is it 30, 60, or 100 fold? Some people say, well, I haven't got really time. I've got doing all this other stuff. I haven't got time to read. And God goes, okay, you know, I mean, I'm not going to force anybody to read the Book of Heaven. But when you have the time, when you make the time to read, to study, to put this into practice, everything's coming to life. Everything's coming to this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II has promised. And we're seeing it. So he's now working on the interior of us with his interior life. So he says, Luisa says, volume 22, 1030, 1927. Luisa was speaking, how can the creature ever dispose themselves? How can the creature merit receiving this kingdom that's so great? And Jesus says, my knowledges, my truths, my lessons, my prophecies, my promises that I give in the Book of Heaven about my fiat shall take an attitude now of suns, now of thunders, now of bolts of light, now of mighty winds. He's talking, what's coming is he's going to do this and it's going to change your life as a bright sun, as a thunderous cloud, as a bolt of lightning, as a great wind. It's going to call the attention of each and every one of us and the learned and of the ignorant, of the good and of the evil, of falling into their hearts. This is going to fall into their hearts like lightnings and knocking them down with irresistible strength to make them rise again in the good of these truths, these lessons that you acquire while reading. God is doing this. And I, like I said, I can't wait to read every day. Every day Jesus is speaking. Every day he's showing new and amazing things. I love the saints. But as Jesus says, they learned how to do the will of God. That's volume 1 through volume 10. But to live in the divine will, Jesus says, I've given this to no one but you, Luisa. To live in the divine will is to read what Jesus says to Luisa. And everything comes alive. Everything comes alive. Your life becomes a life of peace, joy, and happiness. It really becomes a life of heaven. All the misery of the past, all the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, even to the point of sin, is going to disappear. Little by little, this is happening as you read, as you rise again in the good of the knowledges that you're acquiring by reading. And he says, these knowledges form the true renewal of the face of the earth, which shall assume all the attitudes in order to attract and win all humanity in taking the attitude now of peacemakers who want the kiss of the creature to give them their own and to forget about all of the past. You know, that's already begun to happen. If you're doing the Divine Mercy Novena from Good Friday to the second Sunday of Easter, all your sins are forgiven. If you make that novena, if you really are striving for perfection, all the sins of your past are gone. And again, even the temporal punishment due to sin is gone. That's what God has given to humanity and why we need it more than ever. The sins, if you read Father Ripinger's book about deliverance, you'll see in the back of the book, all those words in the back of the book, we've been affected by every one of those words, by people around us, in our family, our friends, our neighbors, our teachers, everybody that we've been involved in, you know, even movies, television, have poisoned us to go away from God. Sesame Street, for example, how to be happy without God, how to be happy without Jesus Christ. That's demonic. You only can be happy with Jesus. Yet we've been poisoned all our life. And Jesus says, I'm going to forget about the past. We're going to start anew, a new beginning for humanity. He says, these writings will be for my church as to begin my church over again. It is going to be more beautiful, more holy, more saintly, more. Everyone will be Catholic. Why? That's the universal life that Adam had before the fall. And he says, I'm going to forget about all the past. And remember, we're going to to love each other as God wanted. He says, this is my commandment, love one another. And make each other's soul happy. Now, of warriors and our war that we're in this war, we're in this final battle, but it's a battle of love. It's not a war of blood, Jesus says. To be warriors, sure of their victory, to render sure the conquest that they want to make, of those who come to know these truths, these lessons in the book of heaven. Now of incessant prayers, that your rounds become continuous. It's not you, I got my rounds done. No, as you begin to live the rounds, pray the rounds, Jesus is saying, look at creation. Look what I did for you. For example, when you walk on a beach, and there's something, you go, wow, what's that? You pick it up. Wow, this is great. That was planned by God from the beginning of time. He wanted you to see this. He wanted you to be attracted by it. He wanted you to say, this is how much I love you. And this is with all of creation. We ignore everything else. And we go, oh, let me look at this. God says, I want you to be adorers of the divine creation. I want you to be adorers of the divine redemption. Incessant prayers, and shall cease to supplicate only when conquered by these truths, these knowledges of my divine will, they shall say, you have won. We are now prey to your kingdom. We belong to you. You have conquered us, Lord. Now the king dominated in inspiring love, such that they shall lower their foreheads to let themselves be dominated. Think about this domination. We were dominated in the voting. There was no voting. And now Jesus says, I'm using that word. I will be in charge. I'm going to be your Lord. And you're going to lower your head to surrender to me. And he says, and then what shall my divine will not do for you? It's going to do everything. We're going to go back to where Adam was before the fall. That's volume 20 through volume 36. How to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. Again, that was hidden until 1996. When it came out of the Vatican, Jesus said, basically, when these books come out, the face of the earth is going to change. Has anything changed much since 1996? Everything has. And people are choosing either a God or the devil. The war is here. And our choice is with God. And thank you, Jesus, that you're giving us the way and the how. You're going to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And you're asking us, you predestined us to live at this time, to work with you on Our Lady through Louisa. 523, 11, 6, 1927. My daughter, the cross matured the kingdom of redemption. The cross completed the kingdom of redemption and placed itself as the custodian of all the redeemed ones in such a way that if one lets herself be kept by the cross, she receives her within herself the effects and that mature fruit contains. It contains the taste, the sweetness, the vital humors that make the soul feel all the good of redemption in such a way that the soul matures together with the fruit of the cross. Every home should have a cross. Every bedroom should have a cross. Every living room should have a cross. Every dining room, kitchen, should have a cross. You should have a cross on the outside of your house. You This is the glory of God. This is the power of God. Christ crucified, not a cross without him on it. The devil wants him off. He'd rather have a bird nailed to it or a word nailed to it or a heart nailed to it. He doesn't want to see Jesus nailed to it. That's his downfall. This is Christ's victory. This is his throne. The cross matures us, the fruit of the cross, and disposes us to return into that God, bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Return the kingdom of God's holy divine will. In fact, he says, who has disposed you to live in it? How are we disposed to live in the divine will? Through the power of the cross. If you haven't read The Cross is Sacrament, it goes hand in hand with the 24 Hours of the Passion. You understand why Jesus embraced the cross, why he gives each and every one of us a cross, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sufferings. Everybody's suffering, but this is the cross he's given us. One with him, one with his mother, one with Louisa. Jesus says, has it perhaps not been the cross of so many years that matured you like a beautiful fruit, took away from you all the bitter tastes that the earth contains, all the attachments of creatures, and converted them for you into divine sweetnesses, placing itself as guard so that nothing may enter into you that would not be holy and would not give you heaven. God says, I'm guarding you. I'm protecting you. I put you where I want you to be. The cross is making all the vital humors flow within you, each and every one of us. And it's done nothing other than form your Jesus within you. Jesus is here. Why do we love our neighbor as we love ourselves? Because Jesus is here and Jesus is there in them. And Jesus says, and your Jesus finding you mature, form the kingdom of the divine will in the depth of your soul, Louisa. And now he's doing it with us. And I, acting as the attitude of a teacher, with all love, I spoke to you about the divine will. And I still do. I have taught you the way and the life you must conduct in the divine will, the prodigies, the power, the beauty of my kingdom. This is what you get when you read the Book of Heaven. He's talking to you. He's speaking to you. He's teaching you how to conduct yourself. He's teaching you how to receive these prodigies of heaven, how to enter into the power, the beauty of the kingdom of the divine will. Everything is planned by God. We want to make that page in the book of life perfect the way God wants it perfect. You must be perfected as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's all based on love. And that's what the divine will is. The divine will is the kingdom of love that we're diving into and drowning. He says, I never want you to leave this love. Volume 23, 12, 14, 19, 27. My daughter, I have you who are worth more than anything. That's what Jesus says about us. He died, shed every drop of blood because we're worth more than anything to him. He is our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. And all that he asks is what he asked for the apostles. Will you stay with me 1 hour? Just 1 hour out of the 24. I have you. You who are worth more than anything. And putting aside everything, I shall look at your value. That is the value of my most holy divine will in you. And I shall dispose my kingdom in the midst of all of humanity. So what has he done with Louisa? He says, now I want to do with you. I want you to work with her so that the kingdom can come here soon. Some people say, well, the kingdom is going to come in about another 1,000 years. Look at the sign of the times. I mean, really, what did Our Lady say to Bruno in 1947, 40 days after Louisa died? He says, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era of Lucifer. The kingdom is coming. When the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, he who has been banished from heaven will be banished from earth. What does that mean? No more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. Well, that's at the end of the world. Now, the end of the world is when Jesus comes back with a perfected earth and presents it to the Father. St. Bernard says there's three comings. The first coming is the incarnation through the womb of Mary. Redemption took place. The final coming is at the end when the world is perfect and he comes as Lord and King and presents it to his Heavenly Father. But the middle coming of Christ is now with this great gift of the divine will. That's where we are. Jesus is going to reign in us on earth as it is in heaven. So for now, Jesus says, I have you, Louisa, and that's enough for me in order to dispose the kingdom of my divine will. Therefore, all the evils of this time, and they are too many, do not equal to the great value of my divine will operating in one creature alone, Louisa Picaretta. And my divine will shall use these evils to make a heap out of them, and with its divine power to banish them from the face of the earth. Who's he talking about? This heap of evils. See, hell was made for Lucifer and his fallen angels. God is going to work some great miracles, and our job is to cooperate with Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. How can we do this? If you read the book of heaven, Jesus is going to show you the great value of my divine will operating in you, like Louisa. My divine will shall use these evils and make a heap out of them, and with the power to banish from them from the face of the earth. He's gone. The kingdom of God is established, is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. He's not going to be banished just from the earth. He's going to be banished from the universe. The kingdom is coming. In disposing the good of redemption, Jesus said, I wanted to find the whole value within my mother. I wanted to place in safety inside her maternal heart all the goods that my coming upon earth did, coming into the midst of the creature, all of it was to enclose. And I conceded the good that the sovereign queen of heaven was asking of me. And when I want to give a good to a creature, first I trust one of them, and I place in her the whole value of that good. And then, as though assured, I give the good that she asks of me for all of humanity. Therefore, Louisa, and now he's talking to us too, think of enclosing within yourself the whole value that my kingdom and my divine will must contain. I shall think of depositing all the rest that is needed for a good so great. This is redemption. She brought about the redemption. Now Jesus says sanctification is coming for humanity. To be alive at this time. What a glorious thing this is. To be alive at this time. This is something that is so astonishing. That we would be alive at this time. I just can't. God loves us so much. Volume 23, 12, 18, 19, 27. My daughter, each prophecy I have given to my prophets about my coming upon the earth was a commitment that I made to humanity of my coming back into their midst. And the prophets, by manifesting them, disposed the peoples to desire, to want a good so great. So for the first 4,000 years, everybody was praying for the Messiah. Every woman wanted to be the mother of the Messiah. That's why pregnancy was such a great thing in Israel. Maybe you're the one that's chosen by God to be the mother of the Messiah. A good so great. And now what do we do with pregnancies? They're despised. The president said something just recently. He said he's going to start new cities filled with young people with lots of children. That's what's coming. We haven't seen anything yet. What God has planned. He said, be fruitful and multiply. He says, do you see the desert? He says, the desert was supposed to be packed with people. But because of Adam's sin, it's barren. With Adam's sin, now being God redeemed us so that now he's going to sanctify us. Watch what's going to happen to the face of the earth. It's really paradise is coming. The new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. In these, receiving these prophecies, receive the deposit of the commitment. And as I kept manifesting the time and the place of my birth, I kept increasing the pledge of the commitment. And so I am doing now with the kingdom of my divine will. Each manifestation that I make to you, Louisa, concerning my divine fiat is a commitment that I, God, am making. Each knowledge, each truth, each lesson about my divine will is one more pledge that I, Jesus, add. And if I make my commitments, it is a sign that just as the kingdom of redemption came, so shall the kingdom of my divine will come. This is a promise. My words, our lives, they're living. He says they're divine lives that I, God, issue from myself. And life must have its dwelling, and life must have its produce and produce its effect. This is what's coming. This is what God is asking of us. He's really asking us to begin to live this abundant life. Out of all of humanity, God has asked us to be alive at this time. We're going to see what all the prophets, all the kings, all the judges of the Old Testament, all the saints, all the priests, all the prophets of the New Testament, we're going to see all their desires being fulfilled. When the kingdom is established on earth as in heaven, and he says, it's a sign I'm coming. It's a sign I'm putting down on paper my promise to you, to mankind. You, Louisa, are the scribe. What I tell you, you put down on paper. This isn't Louisa saying, now, what did he say? She said, I have to write down exactly what he said. That's what's happening. This is our God. He's so in love with us. He's so in love with us that he has predestined us to live at this time to watch, to witness the sanctification of humanity and witness the evil one cast out. We're going to see this. This is why there's nothing to be afraid of. God is in charge. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He says to Faustina, the final devotion I get to my church before I return is divine mercy. What is divine mercy? Jesus, I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I'm not going to worry about my family. You said, give me your family. Do what I'm asking of you. That's to live in the divine will, and I'll take care of your family. Trusting in Jesus is saying, here they are again, Lord. You say, trust you. They're yours. You're the Savior. I trust you, Jesus. Let me rejoice in knowing that they're going to heaven. Let me rejoice in that. So as things go on, Jesus is going to take care of it. He really is. He says, volume 23, 12, 22, 19, 27. My daughter, when a work is great, when it is universal, Catholic, and encloses many goods that all can enjoy, greater sacrifices are needed. And the one who is chosen, Louisa, to be the first must be disposed to give and to sacrifice her own life and as many times for as many goods as she encloses in order to give together with those goods the very life for the good of her brothers and sisters. That's why Jesus crucified Louisa every day. For everything, everyone, sacrifice your life as many times for as many goods. This is when we see what Jesus went through. He suffered more than any human. We see what Our Lady went through. She suffered more than any human next to Jesus. And now we see the newborn, Louisa, who suffered more than any human next to Our Lady. These are the three that sacrificed the most. Jesus and Mary for redemption, the kingdom of redemption. Louisa for the kingdom of sanctification. Jesus says, she's doing this for all her brothers and sisters. He says, did I not do the same in redemption? Me and my mother, it's always Jesus and Mary. Don't you perhaps want to imitate me, Jesus says. See, when the Father sees a soul that loves Jesus, that wants Jesus, a soul that's close to Jesus, what's really amazing is it's a new beginning for everyone and for everything. And so our God is asking us, pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. He really is. So do you want to imitate Jesus? 5:23, 1:27, 19:28. I looked at the centuries. See, we want to imitate Jesus. I looked at the centuries as one single point, and I found you, Louisa, the chosen one. This is really important. Who is this Louisa Picaretta? I looked at all of the universe, he says, all of humanity, as in like in an instant, and you are the one that he says, I found you, the chosen one. And even from that time, I, God, directed. I, God, deposited my acts in you, Louisa Picaretta, in order to dispose my kingdom in you, Louisa. This is why, get a picture of Louisa for your home. You know, get a picture of your of Louisa. Father Bucci says, what's coming is going to be really tough. And he says, if you have a picture of Louisa, if you have a statue of Louisa, put it in your window and the evil one will walk right away because he sees. He remembers for the Virgin Eve. You know, he stopped everything by seducing her, by lying to her. Adam fell too. And now, with Our Lady coming to earth, bringing the Messiah, redemption came. And look at the church. Out of 8 billion people, 1 billion are Catholic. It's not very good. Jesus says, now, watch what I'm going to do with the Holy Church now. Now that the Virgin, born of original sin, is now living the true life of the new Adam and of the new Eve. See, it's really a new beginning that's coming. It's a new beginning. He says, 5:23, 2:9, 19:28. Just as I, Jesus, did everything. I, Jesus, suffered everything. And I, Jesus, consumed everything in order to form the all possible imaginable remedies for all the redeemed ones, so as to dispose them to receive the great good of my divine will reigning in their midst. Okay. He says, I brought a redemption to get everyone ready for sanctification. And now he says, now you, Louisa, in order to prepare my kingdom for humanity, you, Louisa, must enclose all that is good and all that is holy by dint of your pains. And you must consume all evils to make the life of the divine will be born again in the midst of humanity. He didn't do that to us. I mean, we get a sliver and we complain. We get a backache and we complain. Louisa was in bed for 70 years without eating, drinking, or sleeping. What did she go through? Well, Jesus tells us this. To prepare for my kingdom for humanity, you must enclose all that is good and holy by dint of suffering. You must consume all evils. How? By suffering, making the life of my divine will be born again in the midst of humanity. You, Louisa, must be my echo in which I, God, must form the deposit from which the kingdom of my fiat must arise. She's the one that's done this. Who is this Louisa Picaretta, who God loves so much? Who is she? 5:23, 2:20, 19:28. And Louisa says, I thought to myself, maybe Jesus does not find either in me or in others the dispositions to receive the life of more of his truths. See, at this point, there would be silence. Jesus would be silent because he'd say to Louisa, I want you to study this. I want you to put this into practice. So he says, maybe in me, she says, maybe in others, there's the disposition to receive this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary that he's telling me about in the book of heaven. Maybe it's me, maybe it's others. So it's not to let these lives remain suspended. He keeps silent and he hides. And then Jesus speaks to Louisa, poor little daughter of mine. You must know that the soul who must be the bearer of a good must centralize within himself all the fullness of that good. You can't be Franciscan if you're not, if Francis couldn't have Franciscans if he wasn't here. He was the bearer of all the good that the Franciscans have. The bearer of good must centralize within himself all the fullness of that good. And that's saintly, good, and holy. What Jesus breathed into Louisa is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the newborn of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Queen of Heaven and Earth. He says, the fullness of that good, otherwise the good would not find its way to go out. Now, since I, God, must centralize in you, Louisa, the kingdom of my divine will, nothing of it must be missing, because its light disposes you, Louisa, to receive all the truths necessary to form its kingdom. Where are all the truths that are necessary to form the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven? In the book of heaven, the book that Louisa put down on paper for us. The whole reason the book of heaven, Jesus tells St. Honorable de Francia, is to give it to us, her brothers and sisters, to learn, to study, to put this into practice. Every time you read, Jesus is teaching you a new lesson. And even if it's the same lesson, he expands it like a balloon, he says, so to fill you more with the peace, the joy, the happiness of heaven. None of it, he says, must be missing in you, Louisa, because the light disposes you to receive all the truths that are necessary to form his kingdom. And if other creatures are not disposed to receive all the truths of the fiat, at the most, I shall not give you the capacity to manifest them. What is he saying? If the souls aren't disposed, I'm not going to be giving you any more. But suppose he says, we're going to be disposed. The lives of the truths of the fiat. He says, if they're not disposed, I'm not going to give you the capacity to manifest them. But to you, the depository, nothing must be lacking for all humanity who is going to read it. Like I said, you're going to read things that I won't see and I can't see because I'm not you. Your prayers, you could love Jesus more than any human because of the love that God has given to you to present to him as his spouse. No one else can give that. Jesus said to Louisa, yes, I'm going to marry the church collectively, but I'm going to marry individually each person. Volume 23, 2:28-28. Your confessors who have passed into the next life shall be like the prelude of the children of my fiat, children of my divine will. In fact, the first one sacrificed himself very much and worked to help the tiny little field of your soul, Louisa. And even though at that time I spoke to you little about my fiat, because first I, Jesus, had to deposit in you, Louisa, dispose you, Louisa, so that you can be like a first herald, like the dawn that announces the new day of the kingdom of my divine will. If you haven't watched the video, Dawn of a Mystery, this is something that is every time I listen to that, I get something new. It just keeps on expanding what God has planned for humanity. It's so beautiful. When you read the book of heaven, it's the same thing. It's God is expanding. Volume 23, 3:3-1928. Being able to give what I manifest, my love does not suffocate my waves. On the contrary, it puts them out. And in seeing them reproduced, in the soul, that's Louisa, and now hopefully us, it enjoys, it feels drawn to manifest that which is not known. See, that's the thing about the divine will. You're learning a divine language that is not known. And as you learn it, like Louisa would say, I get to the certain point and I have no words to say because it's going to sound like nonsense. Why? How do you describe a divine reality in human terms? Jesus is manifesting that which is not known for the utility and the good of humanity, all of humanity. If you knew how much I enjoy in giving, God is gratuitous. He can't stop giving. How my love celebrates when I see a soul disposed, a soul wanting to receive these goods of the divine will, you would be more attentive to let me pour out my contained love in you, Louisa. You would write everything down, Louisa. I want to see souls disposed. Hopefully that's us. I want that wants to receive God's goods, wants to be more attentive to let Jesus pour out this contained love in us. That's what he's looking for. This is why John Paul II said it's going to be a new and divine way of holiness. Volume 24, 3:19-28. I want the life of what I have said. I want to make the new sun shine. See the new heavens and the new earth. I want, listen to what Jesus said, I want the life of what I spoke to you, Louisa. I want to make the new sun shine on all of humanity. I want the fruit of the many knowledges, these truths, these lessons that I have manifested to you, Louisa, in the Book of Heaven. I want my work to receive its longed for effects. It's happening. It's happening right now. As Jesus speaks to us, everything changes for us. Who would not be rejoicing in this? So he says, in fact, how much have I not worked to dispose you, Louisa, to dispose us, to receive the knowledges that are so important about God's most holy divine will. And you yourself, how many sacrifices have you not made? How many graces have I not given to you to have you make them? See, that's our life too. How many sacrifices have you gone through since you were a child? How many graces has God given you to you, bringing you to be Catholic, giving you the Book of Heaven? It is the divine will that yearns to be known in order to bring divine life, divine fulfillment to the works of humanity. More so, since I am preparing great events, sorrowful and prosperous, chastisements and graces, unforeseen and unexpected wars, everything. Why? In order to dispose humanity to receive the good of the knowledges, the lessons of my fiat found in the Book of Heaven. And if they let them sleep, if Jesus says, if you're not going to read it, you leave your book on your shelf without flinging into them, into the midst of creature, they shall render the effects that I am preparing fruitless. If you're not reading, he says, these are not going to be good for you. I mean, listen to what he said. He said it very clearly. He says, how many great events I'm preparing, sorrowful and prosperous, graces and chastisements. He says, if you're not reading, everything that I'm preparing for you is fruitless. What an account shall those souls not have to give to me? I have given them the way and the how. With these knowledges, Jesus says that in the Book of Heaven, I am preparing the renewal and the restoration of the human family. Therefore, on your part, do not place any obstacle and continue to pray that the kingdom of divine will shall come soon. Volume 24, 4:6-19:28. My daughter, by her nature, the soul cannot receive this good that's so great, a light that has no boundaries. Your nature, human, your fallen nature, even though we've been redeemed, altogether, she must take it sip by sip. This is the best part, word by word that Jesus speaks, sip by sip, waiting to swallow the first sip in order to have another. He says, I'm expanding your capacity as you read. He says, if the soul wanted to take everything together, the poor one would be drowned, would explode, basically, be forced to put out, which he cannot contain, waiting to first digest the little that she has taken. That's day by day. For the divine will to flow like blood in her veins, for the vital humors to spread within the soul, the whole person, to then dispose her to have another sip. He says, has this not been the order I've had with you, Louisa? I've manifested to you, Louisa, that which regarded my eternal divine fiat little by little. This is our hope, little by little. We breathe it in little by little, word by word, page by page. To start the first lessons, and then the second, and then the third. Let Jesus teach you. Let Jesus guide you. Let Jesus direct you. So we'll end here and be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.